We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Okay, welcome in from Detroit. Another Bears divisional game, another Bears loss. Adam Hogan, Adam Johns here with you. Episode 139 of the Hogan Johns podcast, and this was an absolute dud by the Bears today.
Let me get this right. Under John Fox, the Bears are 3-14, is that correct?
4-14.
No, 3-14 in the division.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I just gave him a free win.
Well, good for you. Good for you and good for John Fox. So, 3-14 in the division. One more game left against the NFC North leading Vikings at the end of the year. I think that's damning. I don't know what else, the other stats you really need to use to prove to make a coaching staff. Three wins against divisional teams over 3 years. That is not good. And this game was not good.
Yeah, they just were brutal. For most of the game, the offense, Bears offense, looked great last week against Cincinnati. If there's one thing we learned today, Johns, it's that the Bengals are awful. The Bengals are really bad. I mean, I think there are 10.5-point underdogs to the Vikings on Sunday. I think that line should move to 30 after what we saw today here in Detroit.
Whatever the Bengals had in Cincinnati, that listless performance, that uninspired performance, whatever bug they had, the Bears obviously caught it. That was contagious because they played as listless as the Bengals played in Cincinnati. Just even like to feel good about Mitch Trubisky's game, even that should be limited. And it's frustrating. I get it for fans because every Fox win, I look back at it since. They beat the Packers on Thanksgiving in Lambeau, right? Ruined Brett Favre night. They are 0-8 after wins. They cannot build on their success.
I should mention, post-game columns are up WGNRadio.com/Bears. I took a look at some of the things Fox said in his post-game presser, which we'll get to in a second. John's stuff up at suntimes.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Let's start, I guess, with the quarterback. Mitch had three picks today, but also went over 300 yards. It's very interesting, the stats at halftime, or at least early in this game. I forget when I tweeted them out, but they were way in the Lions' favor. First downs, time of possession, yards. The Bears ended up leading in most of those categories by the end of the game, in part because in the second half they were behind. Trubisky threw the ball a whole bunch, ended up over 300 yards, really made some really incredible throws in this game at times. Marcus Wheaton showed up with a couple catches. But the three interceptions, two of them were bad throws. And then the third, there was a miscommunication with Daniel Brown. So some good, some bad for a rookie who's still not in a great situation.
Hey, here's my take on that. He needs to make those mistakes. They should have probably happened weeks ago if John Fox isn't holding him back and he's throwing seven passes a game and whatnot, and or more than that. Look, this conservative approach that John Fox has used, I think it's going to be the end of him. Mitch Trubisky needs to make mistakes. He needs to learn from his mistakes. He needs to make them first. And having this risk-averse mindset, while good, while positive, while Mitch Trubisky has bought into it, he still needs to see his mistakes on film. He still needs to throw the ball. He needs to throw the ball more than when they're down going into the fourth quarter. I got the fourth or the third quarter stats here. It's totally skewed in the Lions' favor. I mean, Trubisky finished with over 300 yards passing, but he only had 141 after three quarters. So, you know, he started chucking the ball around. You know, he had to chuck the ball around. The Bears were down 20-3. He had to throw the ball. But this goes back to the original thing with Fox. Let him throw earlier. Let him establish a rhythm. This isn't working. It clearly didn't carry over from the Bengals game. You know, this is on the coaches as much as it is on Mitch Trubisky.
And go for it at 4th-and-1 at midfield. Which I wasn't surprised Fox didn't. He doesn't do that. But it's early second quarter. You're down 6-0. I think most importantly, your defense has been on the field for most of the game at that point. And you just punt right back to them. And yes, you pin them back if it's about field position. You did pin them at the 8-yard line. But Matthew Stafford went right down the field, 92 yards in 10 plays, because the defense was so tired. That conservative nature of Fox is just, it's, I mean, you got your way of coaching. I get it. But adapt. You're 4-9. Your defense is on the field an incredible amount at that point. What are you doing?
It all goes back, at least, look, I wasn't surprised by it. You know, everybody was making, not a scene of it, but everybody was bringing it up post-game, you know, asking players, asking Fox, but I wasn't surprised by it. What I thought about is when, you know, Dow Loggins talked about getting as much situational football that they could for Mr. Trubisky, because they need him to develop, winning while trying to develop him at the same time, and how they need him to be in pressure-packed situations. They need him to be in 2 minutes. They need him to be out there in fourth and one situations. That was a situation for your young quarterback to have in a season which is really meaningless. And John Fox, apparently, he probably knows his fate, probably feels his fate, probably knows what's coming. Was it going to change? He's been trying to win this football game, punted the ball. I wasn't surprised, but that's what I thought about, the unwillingness to give maybe Mitch Trubisky a chance to learn, to make a mistake in that situation.
Can we just start with how John Fox started his press conference? Because it was great. Here it is.
Yeah, I think overall, I think it was just a football game against a division team that was in playoff contention.
Stop it there. It was just a football game against a divisional opponent in playoff contention. Hey, it's an honest statement from John Fox. I just thought that was great. That's how he started his press conference. All right. Then there were penalties. You come out with 13 penalties in this game. There were 5 on one drive, and guess which drive that was? The one where you scored a touchdown. The only drive you scored a touchdown. And this was Fox's explanation for that.
Yeah, I think some of it was some new guys in, because of some guys lost. That's not an excuse. It's just reality. For whatever reason, we had a lot of holding penalties, which I think was partly due to some of the changes, but all in all, wasn't good enough.
Okay, so he blames it on new guys. I went back and looked at it. 13 penalties. Only 3 of them were by non-starters. And 2 of those 3 were on special teamers. John Timu and DeAndre Houston Carson, who've been out there all season on special teams. So they're basically starters of special teams. So when he says it was because of new guys, he's basically referring to the one holding call on Hronas Grasu. Otherwise, all the penalties were on guys who've been playing all season.
So he followed up a truthful statement about this being a divisional game against a playoff team with lies again. Or it sounded harsh. I mean, his representation of facts, or whatever you want to call it. Look, he's got Josh Bellamy, from the whole Trey McBride saga. Didn't he have like 3 or 4 penalties today? At least two.
Yeah.
A couple holding. Not a good day for his guy, Josh Bellamy, who was definitely one of Fox's guys, one of his core players, special teamers, all that. The guy who starts at receiver now for the Bears. Just, it's a bad state of affairs. 2 more games left. Do you pick the Browns on Christmas Eve? I don't know. This was a very listless, uninspired performance, I thought. The defense, like a guy like Eddie Jackson, you felt good about his performance against the Bengals because he bounced back from a couple weeks ago, his awful game against the Eagles, right? And then he gets, Matthew Stafford threw that ball up. I swear to God, I thought we were going to catch it. It was so high in the press box, and he misjudges it. Who was it? Marvin Lewis gets underneath it, makes a big play. A couple plays later, the Lions score.
Marvin Jones. Marvin Lewis. Well, maybe Marvin Lewis should try to be a wide receiver because he's going to lose his job.
Yeah. He's going to be on the unemployment line, too. I got a text from a season ticket holder, right? 1 step forward, 2 steps back. That's what you seem to get with the John Fox regime here.
Well, just a good reminder, I think, that the Bengals' win didn't change anything. We talked about that after the game last week, that it doesn't really change anything long term. It was, you were hoping, though, to see just the offense specifically build on what happened last week. Mitch Trubisky to build on it. I think you saw enough good today, but still the interceptions. It's a tough thing. I don't know if it's better for the season just to end at this point, to get a new coaching staff in here.
You could do that, Adam.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Is it better for Trubisky to not even... I mean, he has to play these last two games. Yeah. Is that what I'm saying? But, like, yeah. Is he being hurt at this point by this coaching staff? Do you just want to get to the offseason and get him under new coaches? Or is this experience still valuable? I mean, I could see it both ways.
let your head get beaten in and confused and lose some more football games, lose to the Browns on Christmas Eve. Yeah, that'll be really good for the rookie. But I get what you're saying, right? It's... You see his frustration bubbling over again. I still think he composes himself quite well. I still think he keeps the big picture in focus. I think a lot of these young guys, like Eddie Jackson, even Tariq Cohen, they keep the big picture in focus. But it's going to be hard. These last 2 weeks are going to be really hard. You're going to have a lot of players probably checking out. Probably not wanting to get hurt. There was one play today, like Jordan Howard, I think it was a check down or a screen or a swing pass to the left side. He catches the ball, surprising, I know, and then he goes out of bounds.
Yeah.
For a 1 yard loss. This is Jordan Howard, 245 pounds of muscle, supposed to be running guys over. It's a bad look.
Yeah, it was a lot of things that were a bad look today. You know what? And I got to say, I try not to judge the post-game locker room mood too much, but there were a lot of guys kind of joking around and just sort of it seemed like they're just so used to this. It didn't seem like a down. I don't know how you felt. It didn't seem like a down locker room to me after the game.
There are a few players that I'm not going to name their names, but they looked somber. They looked beaten, and I think that's healthy. But you're right. There was. You try not to read too much into it. You know, these guys talk about, you know, turn the page type of mentality. Maybe they really have it, for all I know. But there was a lot of laughing. A lot of laughing. A lot of goofing around for a 4-win football team. And that reflects poorly all the way to John Fox. I mean, that locker room, it has good guys. It has winners. And you have guys like Akeem Hicks that don't quit. But this losing becomes systemic. Becomes part of your culture, and obviously it's entrenched itself into parts of that locker room, and you cannot have some of your best and brightest young players, your Mitch Trubisky's, start to be affected by it.
Well, speaking of Mitch, we do like to bring you that post-game sound, so here is Mitch Trubisky's press conference after the game.
Good job. So you guys had the big offensive game last week, a little bit of a different outcome today. What can you attribute that to?
Lack of rhythm on offense, penalties, we got to eliminate penalties, and then me taking care of the football. So we just need to be better at those things, take care of the ball in the red zone, be better on third down, obviously, and just execute better on offense all the way around. So last week we had a lot of juice, executed, had things rolling. Today it seemed like the opposite. So just got to go back, be critical on the film, just see what I could get better at and continue to push my teammates and get better.
What happened on the end zone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just lost him in my vision, and I thought I had a head trail in the back of the end zone. So I kind of just forced one there. Good coverage and call by them. And I just got to throw the ball away so we can get a field goal and not force it.
PG Kassour
had another first interception. Yeah, got it over the first guy, sailed on me a little bit, and there was another defender there to catch it. So the right place, right time for them, and just sailed a little bit for me.
The last one looked like miscommunication. Was that intended for Brown or
did it? Yeah, it was intended for Brown. Just miscommunication.
It seems like penalties have been a consistent theme throughout the season, and every week we have to stop shooting ourselves in the foot, but what is going to just stop them or slow them?
Everyone's just got to make a conscious effort to say we're not going to make penalties anymore. We're going to play clean football. And And I don't know, what am I going to say to my guys for holding? I mean, they're blocking for me, so I can never say anything to my linemen because they're out there protecting me, and I love that. So the effort's there. We just got to keep playing technical. We just got to be sound. Same thing with the receivers on the outside. They're blocking for their running back. So I'm never going to say anything to a guy for having their teammates back, you know. So the effort's there. We just got to be better with our hands and just keep playing aggressive. Those kind of things happen, but I'm just proud that we have each other's back. You're always blocking for your guy. You're always giving that effort. Do you get called for one here and there? Yeah, you do, but the effort's there. And we just need to eliminate those somehow. So whether it's just setting up the blocks or just having better technique. So the effort's there. I'm proud of that. But, we just got to eliminate them.
What did Marcus Wheaton show you today?
We know Marcus is a good receiver. He got open for me today. I missed him a couple times and just going to continue to rely on him in this offense. So he runs really good routes. He's got good hands and he's a reliable guy. So just got to continue to utilize him going forward. And me and him just got to continue to build chemistry, get on the same page.
Mitch, 4th and 1 in the second quarter. Do you have input to that? Did you offer any of your ideas about whether you wanted to go for it in that situation?
I did not. I don't quite remember that.
Darius Slice said on the broadcast right after the game that you felt you were staring down some receivers. Can you feel yourself doing that as the game went on?
I don't think I was. I was more looking guys off or trying to see what they were doing. I mean, they play coverage with their eyes on me the whole time, so it probably looks like I'm staring at them, but I'm just trying to move guys and find my receivers open. So
there are a lot of opportunities today where you got frustrated. What was your mindset? Because you hung in there and delivered some of your actually better throws of the season too.
Next play mentality. Just you're always going to have bad throws. Everyone throws picks. But how you respond to it, and we still had a chance to be in the game in the second half, even though I made some mistakes, turned the ball over. So just never giving up, next play mentality, and just always believing you can make the next throw.
Anything else? All right.
So kind of short and sweet, Mitch, this week, shorter with his answers, not dismissive, though. He went through the interceptions. You heard him kind of confirm that there was miscommunication with Daniel Brown on the last one. Dontrell Inman was in the area, but I think he expected Brown to go towards the sideline, and he just sat down on his route. So you don't have Adam Shaheen out there. Maybe that's the factor.
What I made note of is that when he started talking about his offensive line, there seemed to be an uptick in fire where he was defending his guys all of a sudden. And I think it's notable. It's important that he wanted to defend his guys who they are, and they're playing for him, and they're committing penalties. They're holding guys. They're not getting their jobs done, per se, but they're trying. At least he believes they're trying. So I thought that was notable, that he was willing to, I don't want to say take one for the team, but he wanted to defend them a bit. You could see the emotion come out in his voice where he wanted to back those guys up. So, it was good to hear him, you know, go through his interceptions and take responsibility, especially for the bad one in the end zone. But I thought the way he responded to questions about his offensive line and the penalties, that was pretty noteworthy to me.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And I will say, I had a discussion with Charles Leno in the locker room about his holding penalty early in the game. You know, we talked about this on the podcast with John Fox talking to the officiating department this week about Jeff Triplett's crew and the holding penalties that were called late. Charles actually was not aware that this was the same crew from last year. And I told him that, and he was like, really? Because, remember, he got called for one of those late in the game last year. And the one today, you know, he's got this guy engaged, and then the guy just does a quick swim move on him to the inside, like a kind of a sudden change of direction. And I don't know what he's supposed to do there. When you're allowed to hold a guy inside and they suddenly move on you, that's kind of a tough call. So I don't know that all the penalties today were totally legit. I imagine they'll send a few into the league. But still, when you have 13 overall, that's tough.
I still think there was a point in the game where they both had like 5 or 6 each. So it was pretty even both ways. But yeah, by the end of the result, I'm looking at it right now, where they had 13 for 97 yards, the Bears did. Lions had 8 for 58. So obviously the Bears pulled away in that category. Yeah, hooray. Bad look. But shouldn't the the players shouldn't they be more aware of who's calling games? Shouldn't they be prepared for that, by the way? Isn't that part of preparation? Shouldn't they know who the refs are going to be? Shouldn't they know the tendencies of these refs? I know that the coaches are supposed to know these tendencies. Maybe it's on the coaches to share those tendencies with players and issue reminders. I don't know. Maybe it's another bad look for the way things are going under John Fox.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of John Fox, here is his post-game press conference afterwards, starting with that amazing opening statement.
I think everybody's got the injury report. I can update any kind of status you guys might have. You know, I think overall, I think it was just a football game against a division team that was in playoff contention. That we just didn't start fast. We had penalties, and particularly on offense. To spot them 13 points in the first half. Guys battled. We kind of semi got back into it, but I think a little bit too little too late. We'll open it up for questions.
John, 13 penalties today. What was it?
Yeah, I think some of it was some new guys in, because of some guys lost. That's not an excuse. It's just reality. For whatever reason, we didn't seem to – we had a lot of holding penalties, which, I think was – partly due to some of the changes, but all in all, it wasn't good enough.
What do you attribute Mitch's struggles to?
Mitch had some really good throws, and then, we had a couple errant ones. Just looking at it by the naked eye, I saw some of the better throws I've seen him throw all season. Obviously, you don't want to go into a game with three picks.
Do you consider going for it on 4th-and-1 at your own 45 in the first half?
Not really. I don't think that was a factor, a huge factor, but we can talk about that.
Why not in that situation go for it? 6-0.
You do got something to lose, and it's called field position. We've failed to have that much of the day, largely some of our inability to move the ball, in particular the first half. So, I think, sure, you can go for that, but it can bite you too.
John, I think you have three DBs with penalties on third down. Mm-hmm. Is there any common thread there?
I don't think so. I think one of them was right in front of me on Prince. He did the guy redirected, he changed direction, and he did get a stretch. That's the only one really I saw that was close to me. I can't speak to the other ones.
What's your point of view on the coaching call and the kickoff?
Again, not being able to see it. I think the guys upstairs felt they're. It was a good block. It was behind. There was a stretch in the jersey, so that's the way it was described to me.
John, after you guys scored there, you didn't quite onside kick it there. It was sort of like a pooch kick.
Yeah.
But what did you like about that instead of the traditional onside?
Well, it's field position. There was time enough left in the game. You're going to have to do it one or the other, depending on whether you score or not. We kind of had that one up on their base return. But typically, most people will kick it deep early so that you have field position. You don't force them to go fourth down and they have field position. So I don't regret doing that.
Is there any way to explain Gordon Howard being 10 for 37 after the game last week? Is it just that you got off to a slow start?
At the end of the day, we didn't run the ball as efficiently as we have. And when we haven't been able to do that, it's been, some looks like tonight.
The 58-yard sort of field goal play, what you want Eddie to do in that situation, aside for obviously get the ball on the ground?
Well, it's just a jump ball. I think, Matthew did a good job. We lost contain. He busted out to their bench. It was, really there's not a whole lot you can say to Eddie other than, come down with the ball flopping on the ground, and they made a nice play.
We got to have Lamar since he's been back.
We're fortunate he was available. We had some big injuries at that position. He came available, and we claimed him.
Cornell, the same shoulder?
I don't know that for sure. I could make something up, but I don't know. But it is a shoulder.
John, you guys got Marcus Wheaton, producing a little bit today. What's his season been like? You guys try to work to get him.
Well, he's missed a lot of time. It started at training camp with, an appendicitis. That I believe was a finger. And anyways, it's been a little bit, and it was good to see him out there and get some production. I think he had one catch on the season up till tonight.
You mentioned that Mitch had made some good throws and made some inaccuracies. When he's got those inaccuracies early, does that affect what you tell Dowell or how you guys game plan?
No. No, not at all. We've got complete confidence in Mitch. And, sometimes, quarterbacks have those days. They'll have better days. It wasn't all on him. you know, I think at the end of the day, we just didn't play well enough, you know, all of us included.
So what do you see from Mitch as he works through some of those in-game? You said he came back and made some throws mm-hmm. that you really liked.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been super, super impressed, you know, for, you know, I mean, his growth, his production as we've gone, you know, and including, I haven't watched the tape yet. It's going to be hard to say. I think, you know, you look at the box score and, you know, people talk about the three picks, but, you know, I don't know exactly what happened on all of them. A couple of them appeared to be overthrows, but, you know, I need to go back and look at it in the film room. But I've loved how he's grown and matured, and even today with a screen pass, you know, he spiked it in the dirt. Just, you know, he's had steady growth. I think he's improving every week.
When you guys get the fumble away at the end of the first half, mm-hmm. was there a shot on that on the one play you ran toward the end zone? Did you did you want to try?
We were very fortunate to get a fumble before halftime and not have a goose egg.
No, yeah. Did you want to take a shot deeper, or were you content with that?
You know, you can do a lot of different things. You know, I think right there was pretty good. We got points on the board, and it was a good play by Sam Acho to create that.
How is the hostile crowd? You talk about a fast track here when mm-hmm. during the week about the running game. Did you sense that made an impact on the offensive line's ability to win blocks and to establish what you wanted to?
Not really. I mean, it's the same track for everybody. You know, I think, you know, again, not having seen the tape yet, you know, I think a big difference, like it has been for us in many games this season, is the ability to get the run game started versus not. Okay, thank you.
All right, so we'll leave Fox's press conference with that. A few things in there that you're just, all right. I like how Marcus Wheaton got involved, and it's still, he said that, you know, that appendicitis in August, you just, the guy's played 9 games, 6 in a row now. You can't blame it on missing time. Anyway, all right, Mitch Trubisky. Mm-hmm. I imagine the fans are concerned. 3 interceptions today. Should they be?
No. Well maybe. I guess the concern should be is what the heck is the team doing? I believe they should have. I believe he needs to make mistakes to learn. I wrote about it. Read about it on ChicagoSunTimes.com. But these should have happened a long time ago. The kid needs to be throwing more. They play these conservative games, dump offs here and there, safe passes. Take some shots down the field. Find out what you could do. Learn tendencies of players. Take risks. Learn. When Matthew Stafford was a rookie, he had 20 interceptions in 10 games. When Peyton Manning was a rookie, he led the league in interceptions. Andrew Luck had, what, 18 when he was a starter. Throw some picks. Learn from them. Venture out there. Take the risks. But John Fox does not want him to take risks. And we have 2 games left of risk-adverse football, which means I think the learning opportunities, they're limited. They really are.
The only thing that concerns me is the lower body mechanics continue to be an issue. The footwork, I don't, you know, it improves for 1 week and then there's another step back. And this is the kind of stuff we talked about this a few weeks ago. It goes back to his college tape at North Carolina. Should that have been coached out of him by now, or is it something that's going to linger? I mean, you know, Jay Cutler had problems that he never got over. So, you know, that's something that I think watch going forward, but is also another thing that if he gets the right coaching in place, could fix that. I think overall, I'm going to take more good than bad from this game, because I agree. They were taking a lot of shots today in the second half. He kind of seemed to be have the freedom to throw wherever he wanted to. And, yeah, there's going to be mistakes when that happens. But he also made, five penalties on their touchdown drive. Why did they get a touchdown? Because Mitch made 3 or 4 really good throws on that drive to keep it going when they were way behind the chains. So that to me shows a guy that can overcome plays. And yeah, I know the Tigers, the Lions were kind of playing some prevent there, but they were still big throws.
Well, he needs to throw. I mean, I love that John Fox is now forced to throw when they're down 20-3. I get that they're close in some of these games, and I get that he has the ball in his hands with the chance to make a difference, tie the game, win the game. You know, he's had a lot of those opportunities in his starts, but wouldn't it be good to give the kid a lead or have him go earn a lead, have him have a successful game-opening drive where he scores a touchdown, have him establish a rhythm early? Things just seem to – there's no consistency from week to week. And you're right, you did make some big-time throws. You got to love his resolve. I think as far as the mechanics, a lot of that's fixable. Look at Carson Wentz. He found a new private coach, completely refined his mechanics. It helped him immensely this year before his injury. Trubisky could probably go down the same path, but it's going to take work, and I think he's willing to put in that work. And I think it's good that he's learning how much work it will take by his failures.
All right. Well, we'll get out of here. This was definitely not what you wanted to see as a Bears fan today. Didn't necessarily think that they were going to win, but I just think it's inevitable what's going to happen at this point. But two more games to go. Got to get through those first. And we got to get through those first.
The fans got to get through those first.
I mean, nothing gets me more excited than being at Soldier Field on Christmas Eve, away from my family, for a Bears-Browns game. I don't know about you.
Right. Yeah. Merry Christmas, my sons. I'm going to go leave you and go watch some bad football. You know? Great. Happy to see you. You know? Won't be cold in your stocking.
I'm interested to see what the crowd...
in our stocking.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what the crowd looks like. But we can talk more about that this week on our preview episode. And, man, if you're actually going to this, maybe leave that in your voicemail. 312-222-5050. Why are you going to the Bears-Browns game next week if you have tickets? I'd love to hear that. That is our voicemail line. You can chime in on this game. Anything you want, we'll bring those to you later on in the week. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, WGNradio.com/Bears. That's where my post-game column is up. Johnsy's ChicagoSunTimes.com. You can read him there. Please rate, review the podcast on iTunes. We're on TuneIn, WGN Radio app. You know the whole deal. You can find the podcast there. That's going to do it for us from Detroit. We'll talk to you later in the week. It is officially Christmas week. It is officially Bears-Browns week. Hooray!